I'm Pete Shagnon. President-elect Barack Obama is vowing America will play a leading role in combating so-called global warming once he moves into the White House. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith reports.
In a video message to a governor's climate summit, the president-elect says few challenges are more urgent, yet too often Washington has not shown leadership.
That will change when I take office. My presidency will mark a new chapter in America's leadership on climate change that will strengthen our security and create millions of new jobs in the process.
Obama renewed campaign pledges to pour billions into clean energy research and create a cap-and-trade system for greenhouse gas emissions, aiming to slash them to 1990 levels by 2020. Mark Smith, Washington.
California officials say the cost of fighting the wildfires that have destroyed hundreds of homes in recent days is worsening the state's budget crisis. They say the state has spent more than $300 million on emergency firefighting since July 1st. Only $69 million had been in the budget. More residents of a Los Angeles mobile home park, where nearly 500 homes were destroyed, are getting a chance today to walk through and see the devastation for themselves. The causes of three major fires are under investigation. Arson is suspected in a fire in Santa Barbara County. The largest of the fires, one that's burned nearly 29,000 acres, is now 60% contained. A post-abortion help ad in New York brings quick results. AFN's Charlie Butts has this story.
Author Michelle Lane Friedenberg ran the Abortion Changes You ad in New York subways, listing its website, and was amazed at how quickly over 1,600 post-abortive people expressed a need for help.
There was one young woman who wrote in and said, I feel like I don't deserve to live anymore. I'm 24, confused, and alone. I hate myself for what I've done. I felt like I was the only one suffering until I found this website on the train.
Friedenberg also received a large number of responses from men who are hurting from abortions.
We also had wondered if perhaps we were going to receive a lot of negative communication, and we did not.
She says it's a clear indication that there are repercussions from abortion for the baby, the mother, and the father, and they need to be addressed. The website has referrals for people who want help, regardless of the area of the country they live in. I'm Charlie Butts.
Crude oil future prices ended lower on the New York Mercantile Exchange. The near-month contract for the benchmark grade fell 56 cents to close at $54.39 per barrel. A Christian foundation is encouraging ministries and nonprofits to invest time, energy, and resources in causes outside their own organizations. AFN's Allie Martin brings you more on this story.
Mission Increase Foundation provides grants and training to Christian ministries in an effort to improve their financial stability. MIF is encouraging Christian organizations to give $50 away to another ministry. Eric Foley is with MIF and says, although the nation's economy is in a tailspin, it is an opportunity for Christian ministry leaders to model trust in God's provision. The initiative is called the Ultimate Lab.
We take ministry leaders from the seven locations where Mission Increase has offices, and we are inviting them to participate in the efforts of other ministries, the special events that ministries are doing, some of the Coats for Kids drives, the feasts that are held for the less fortunate. We want to get ministry leaders out not just to stump for their own ministries, but to stump for kingdom causes and to help people see that ministries are primarily focused on meeting the overall needs of the kingdom of God, not just looking at their own bottom lines.
Foley says learning how to give in tough times is just as important for nonprofit leaders as it is for donors. I'm Allie Martin.
Taking a final look at Wall Street, the Dow rose 151 points today to close the day at 8,425. And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnon.
In this day of economic...
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, your host. We've been going through the book of Jeremiah, and we just started last time. We were together yesterday, and we ended up in Jeremiah chapter 2, about verse 30 or so. So I'm just going to jump right in here. The prophet speaking in the name of Yahuwah, and he says in verse 31, O generation, see ye the word of Yahuwah. And of course, in the authorized King James Version, it says the Lord, because they've replaced the name of the Creator with the phrase the Lord. And the word of Yahuwah says, Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, We are lords, we will come no more unto thee. And we established when we opened up the book of Jeremiah that he was a prophet to the nations. That's what he wrote, that's what he said. And if he was a prophet to the nations, well, that went beyond Israel. Because usually when that word in the Hebrew was used, the goi or goi, it usually referred to the other nations other than Israel. And the word would usually be translated as Gentile, but the same word. But in context, and the way the translators translated it, not only was he the prophet to Israel as one of the nations, but he was a prophet to all the nations. Are you in a nation where they say, We are lords, we will come no more unto thee, speaking to the Creator of heaven and earth? Well, that is what's going on in the land where I'm living. They are saying, We are lords. We will come no more unto Yahuwah. We won't no more come to unto the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No more. We are lords. We will make our own laws. We will decide what is right in our own sight for us and for our people. The prophet continues in verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. What is he saying to Israel? The Creator is saying, like, I am the ornament of a maid, a virgin in context. And or he says, I am the attire of a bride. Can she forget? Can the bride go to a wedding without her wedding dress? Should the maid forget the ornaments of her virginity? Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? You know, why do you paint your face? Why do you, you know, put up your hair? Why do you get yourself all decked up to go out and seek love? You know, it's like they get dressed up to go out into town. Why do you do that? Therefore thou hast also taught the wicked ones thy ways. And here our good friend Henry says that what they did, being Israelites, being the Yahudim, the people of God, they had a form of godliness. And they even brought the form of godliness into their harlotry. And then they taught the wicked, or the ungodly, the same things. And I discussed yesterday how I saw on TV, and when I was changing from one channel to another, and I happened on the country music channel, and there's this gal on there singing this song, something about my hallelujah or something like that. I don't remember the words exactly. But here she was up there bringing all this form of godliness into wickedness, really blaspheming or taking in vain the name of our Creator. Because if the ungodly proclaims hallelujah, but they don't know him, and in their hearts and their minds, they're not really thanking him, but they're saying his name, is it not in vain? And so here was this woman singing the song My Hallelujah, and the song was all about how she made it in the country music business and all about her life and her morality and her family. And you know, there's good things in there. It's good to love your family and to cherish those things that are a gift from our Creator, but they're nothing without Him, because it's all loss without Him. We lose everything. The prophet continues, "Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore thou hast also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also," he continues, "also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents." He charges them with the guilt of murder added to the guilt of their idolatry. It's what it's all about in America. You know, they still want to uphold marriage in California as between a man and a woman, to be defined in law as that solemn relationship between a man and a woman. That's a good thing. But at the same time, they choose to allow their own children to kill their children in the womb without their permission. What they're saying is that we're going to let the state take care of it. We don't want to make that decision. That's too hard a decision for us. We've already given the state authority over our children. Our children belong to the state. Sounds just like what Jeremiah is saying here. They practice idolatry. They teach the wicked ones their ways, because now what do the wicked do? Oh, wait, we can have homosexual churches. God still loves me. Go to church. Have a homosexual pastor. Yes, it's too bad that God created you that way, yet you were born a homosexual. That's right. They blaspheme His name, trying to blame their sin on Him. "Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these." Yeah, there's no secret anymore. Used to be a secret thing. If someone aborted their child 100 years ago, oh, they kept it a secret because it was considered murder. Not anymore. They're out there proclaiming it as a right to choose. It's a right to choose to kill your child or to not kill your child. The right to choose whether you want to kill your child or not. That's all it is. Yeah, it's a right to choose. But to choose what? To choose death. "In thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents." Yes, that's what the homosexuality movement is all about. It's all about the pleasure without the responsibility. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, our wise Creator, gave that first man and woman a commandment. The very first commandment that He gave was to be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, a positive command to be fruitful and multiply. And with that commandment, He gave mankind a gift. And the gift was pleasure in carrying out that command. But people want the pleasure without the responsibility. They don't want to obey Him. They just want to take the gift of the pleasure. They don't care about raising a godly seed in the church anymore. No. They think the evangelical mode is, we're going to tell all the world and all the sinners, and we're going to make people pray a prayer and then promise them that once saved, always saved, they get to go to heaven when they die. That's the evangelical movement. That's what it's all about. It's not about godliness. It's not about obeying His commandments, because at the same time, they teach that the commandments were nailed to the cross, so we don't have to follow those anymore. We have to be, well, like the homosexuals. We have to convert people because, you know, we have to make converts because we don't want to obey the commandments. We just want the pleasure. Well, that's all the homosexuals want. Isn't that the same thing? They just want the pleasure. Is there really any difference? They want the pleasure without the responsibility of obedience to His command. And I really believe that because the church has gone after this idolatry, the pleasure without the responsibility of obedience to the commandments of our Heavenly Father, break it down, because we're talking about sexuality, sexual immorality, break it down, because they have followed after and practiced birth control, and so we just want the pleasure without the responsibility of the command of raising up godly seed, without obedience to the commandment that says, be fruitful and multiply, that you might seek a godly seed, as the prophet Malachi said. They just want the pleasure. And that's what leads to homosexuality. Because really, are the homos any different than the disobedient and idolatrous Christians? Are they any different than the Christians that practice the idolatry of romance and birth control and abortion? See, just one after another. One leads to the other. First, they don't want to obey the command because the world has taught them that children are a burden. The world has taught them that they just need to please themselves, lovers of themselves. So they obey the world and they adopt the idolatry of romance, leading to birth control and abortion in the church, which leads to homosexuality. It's the same sin, it really is. I hate to tell you, that's the way it is. But that's the way it is, whether you like it or not. That's the truth of the matter. And it's not a very popular truth in the corporate church out there, in corporate Christianity. It's a very unpopular truth, because they want to practice birth control and abortion. Because why don't you practice birth control? Well, you know, abortion's just the next step. And then if you're practicing birth control and abortion, well, homosexuality is just the next step. Because if you have Christian couples, a man and a woman, practicing birth control and abortion, is all homosexuality much different than that? Are they not accomplishing the same thing by men joining up with men and women with women? Aren't they just enjoying the sexual pleasure without the responsibility? Going against the commandment of the Creator who said, be fruitful and multiply, that you might seek a godly seed? If the people of God were obedient, the people of God would be taking over the world, the nation, by sheer population. Because obedience breeds obedience. If you are obedient, your children will learn obedience. It is because the fathers and the mothers are disobedient that the children become more disobedient. And the grandchildren become even more disobedient. You read the Ten Commandments. He says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Who are the thousands that will receive that mercy? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with the husbands and the wives and anyone who is willing to hear the word of Yahuwah, the word of our Heavenly Father, through the prophet Jeremiah, through whatever prophet that he uses to bring his word to your ear, to listen and to live by his commandments. Say yes. The first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what the Messiah said. The great commandment. Well, how do you do that? You want to know how to do that? Do you really want to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with every breath that you breathe? Do you really want to do that? Honestly. Be honest. There was a day in my life where I considered that question, and I honestly had to say no. That's where you begin, by being honest. Because most of them go, oh yeah, I love God, but they're practicing birth control and abortion. Oh yeah, they don't care about raising a godly seed. They don't care about the commandments of God. They don't care about who He is, because He has revealed His character to us through His law. His law says, this is who I am. This is what pleases me. If you love me, you'll want to do the things that please me. So we start by admitting, you know what? I don't love you, God. Help me. Teach me to love you. Because I don't want to lose. I want to stand in that day. I want to be there forever. Please, write your law upon my heart. Write it in my mind, that I might not sin against you. Let me be one that is chosen. Let me be one that is predestined to be conformed to the image of your only begotten Son. Let me be one. There is nothing more important. Teach me how to love you. And you know what you'll learn? If you genuinely admit that you do not love him one day in your life, whether you've already done it, or you're about to do it, or you're going to do it someday in the future, you're going to admit that you don't love God. That's even hard for the heathen to believe, to say. The only ones who say they don't love God are the ones who say, well, there is no God. It's a hard thing to admit to yourself that you don't love God. But if you admit it and you ask him to teach you how to love him, he will. He will answer that prayer, because that's a prayer of repentance. And it's a cry for help. And that is a cry and that is a prayer that our Heavenly Father loves to hear. He's waiting to hear it from every single one of us. He became a man and laid down his life to make it possible for us to pray that prayer, the prayer of repentance, and to plead with him to teach us obedience, to teach us how to love him. Because that's what pleases him, obedience. And if you want to love him, if you truly have a desire to love him, then you're going to say, teach me obedience. I only want to do the things that please you. That's what love is. If you don't have that, you don't have love. If you don't have a desire to please our Heavenly Father, a desire to do those things which he said pleases him, then you don't really love him. Jeremiah speaking to the people, and that day, the days before, Judah was taken captive for 70 years for those Sabbaths to make up, before the temple was destroyed, that abomination which maketh desolate, that we speak about in prophecy, that desolated the temple, that desolated Jerusalem, that desolated a nation, the abominations of Israel. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore thou hast also taught the wicked ones thy ways. And yeah, well, you see it happening. There's a famous contemporary Christian singer who, after what, 40 years of singing just great, wonderful music, come out and says, well, I'm a homosexual, I was born that way. And he broke it to his family and his children, because they were all grown. And guess he left his wife, and then he started going to a homosexual church. Sound familiar? Therefore thou hast also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Yeah, they're saying, yes, you can love God, yes, you can be righteous and still practice your iniquity and still do the things that displease him. You can say, I love God, but continue in your wickedness. And that doesn't add up, people. It doesn't add up at all. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. That's right. If you're out there, if you call yourself a Christian, you go into a corporate church, you attend the Walks for Life every year, but you're practicing birth control, sorry, you're guilty. You're a hypocrite. That's right, because you want the same thing the homos want. You want the same thing that the baby killers want. You want the pleasure without the responsibility of obedience. You know, with the responsibility of obedience comes a great reward, because our Heavenly Father said the children are a blessing from him. They're a gift. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full. But we say he's a liar. They teach it in the pulpits. He's a liar. It's all right. You could practice birth control because God is a liar. And that's what you're saying. At the other side of your mouth, you're pouring out the words, oh, I love God. And you go to the church services and you swoon to the music. And the tears come down your eye because you feel so damn emotional about your hypocrisy. You're deceived and deluded. The truth is, by your actions, by your life, the truth is you hate him. You hate God while you say you love him. Yes, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They don't even know me. Because in their skirts is found the blood of the souls of poor innocents. I have not found it by secret, but upon all of these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll be back in a few minutes.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and well, after that rant in the last segment there, probably will be about as popular as Jeremiah was in his days, and I'll tell you, he wasn't very popular. We're in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 36. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Why are you constantly changing? Oh, why? There we go again. Change. Change you can believe in. Yes, right. Can you believe in it? Why gaddest thou so much about to change thy way? That's the same thing. That's what that means. I know it's a little archaic in the English there, in the Old English. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? But we can put it like this. Change you can believe in. Yeah, the people voted for change. Why gaddest they about so much to change thy way, their ways? Why do they do that? You know, if they were relying on our Heavenly Father, if they were looking to the Creator of the universe, if they were living by His commandments, would they need to change anything? No. They would be satisfied. The people would be prosperous. We would have real money. We wouldn't have to gad about so much with change. Change you can believe in. It's only because things are evil and men are evil and practicing wickedness that they want to change. But they want more wickedness and more evil. They think that by, you know, throwing more phony money at it, that more debt at it, more usury, by going more into sin, by embracing sin more fully, that they're going to get change that'll make things better. No, it's just going to make things worse. But see, you see, they were doing the same thing in Jeremiah's day. From what Jeremiah is writing here, from what the Heavenly Father is telling these people about what's going on in the nation, we could just read in America here. The Heavenly Father's talking to us. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands... Oh, I skipped a verse there, or half a verse anyway. Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. And here you had Israel looking to other nations for help against their enemies. And every time they were put to shame. And why? Because they were looking for the arm of the flesh to save them, rather than looking to their Creator, to the one whose name by whom they were called. And they were ashamed every time. They'll be ashamed again. America, if America does not turn back to the Creator, well, America will be ashamed. I'm ashamed of America, to tell you the truth. Are people, when they go abroad, are they proud to be Americans? Or are they ashamed? Chapter 3, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Well, see, that's what the law said. If a man put away his wife, the law gave her a writ of divorcement, put her away, then she could marry another man. But once she married another man, she could never be joined to her former husband. The scripture said that was an abomination. Now, if he put her away and she never remarried, she could return to him. Because the scripture says even says to be reconciled to your husband. And if he'd accept her back under those circumstances, yes. But if she married another man, even if the other man died, he couldn't return to her. And of course, you can see how problematic that would be. And what an evil could arise out of that. If a man divorces his wife so she can marry another man and obtain his property through his death, perhaps even his murder, and then be joined again to a former husband. You know, just the appearance of evil there. The Heavenly Father said, that's an abomination. So, to give you a little understanding of what Jeremiah is saying here. If they say, chapter 3, verse 1, they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Well, the answer, of course, is no. Shall not that land be greatly polluted? And the answer, of course, if they practice this, which is against the law, the answer is yes. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith Yahuwah. Yeah, the Creator, the God of Israel, is saying this to the people. They've left him. He's likening Judah and Israel as his wives. They've left him, played the harlot with others. Now they want to return. Why do they want to return? Because judgment for their sins. Because they're going to suffer the consequences of their own actions, of their own disobedience. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. You played the harlot with many lovers. You going to return to me? Don't you remember the law? If a man puts away his wife, she goes from him and becomes another's. She's not supposed to return to him ever. Verse 2, lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast been lain with, in the ways that hast thou sat for them. As the Arabian in the wilderness, thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to to be ashamed. They're not even ashamed of their whoredoms. So he's withheld blessing from them. That's what it means. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. He's withheld blessing from Israel. As a matter of fact, the opposite. And yet they're not ashamed. America, the same way. America has lost. All of its wealth is gone. Went from the creditor nation, the greatest, richest nation on the earth, to the greatest debtor nation on the earth. All of our manufacturing is gone. We produce very little anymore. Is that punishment enough? No. Still not ashamed of her whoredoms. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me? My Father, thou art the guide of my youth. Speaking nationally, yes. The Heavenly Father was the guide of young America, that nation that rose up in the wilderness or out of the earth, that had two horns like a lamb. It was lamb-like in the beginning. The principles that this nation was founded on, lamb-like principles, very godly principles. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that what it means, that all men are created equal? If all men are created equal, don't we all have to treat each other equally? Isn't that the same thing as saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? Yes, it is. Couldn't be said much better than that, that all men are created equal. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, because we're all created equal. There's nothing else to do with that phrase. My Father, thou art the guide of my youth. That's what America as a nation can say. He was the guide of our youth. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. Yahuwah, the Lord, said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding America? Well, of course it says Israel. What backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up to every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Every opportunity. Capitol Hill. Talk about a high mountain. Huh? Capitol Hill. Just what a bunch of whores. Got a friend who calls it the whores in the cat house on the hill. What a bunch of whores. Selling out the nation. What? For a little bit of money? For the riches that this world has to offer? Those riches that don't last, that are going to perish with them? They've sold their souls for that? They've sold out their country for that? And why have they done that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the people are playing the harlot. The people delight in sin. They're self-indulgent. They're lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. They love the creation more than the Creator. They played the harlot. Chapter 3, verse 7, the book of Jeremiah. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Of course, we're talking about Israel and Judah, the nation that was divided, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. He calls her treacherous. That tells us everything we need to know, but let's read on anyway. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away, I had given her a bill of divorcement. Yeah, that was the splitting up of the nation, the disbursement of the northern tribes called Israel, as opposed to Judah, the southern part of the nation. He put her away. He gave her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not. And went and played the harlot also. Isn't there something here for us? We read this as the modern day Israel, kingdom of God on earth. America, yeah. Founded as a lamb-like nation upon godly principles, one after another. If you've been with me through my studies, I've enunciated one principle after another that this nation was founded on. The right to bear arms. Yeah, Yahshua said, sell your cloak and buy a sword. Isn't that the right to bear arms? Yeah, see, that's a lamb-like principle, isn't it? about a just weight and a balance of mind, saith Yahuwah. Yeah, our Creator said that. That's gold and silver money. Isn't that a godly principle? Wouldn't you call that a lamb-like feature of a nation? Yeah, see, there's another one. I keep tripping over them everywhere I go in the Scripture. The way our government was set up to be a government of servants, well, it's not that anymore. It's a government of serve yourself. It's a government of people that are self-serving. It went from serving the nation, serving the people. And early on, it was that way. You know, presidents died penniless. Congressmen got no pensions and salaries. They got their expenses covered, but they gave their time. They might have drew a small salary for the time. They didn't walk away with pensions and become rich men forever, because they were servants. The greatest among you shall be the servant of all. See, another godly principle that this nation was founded on. Two horns like a lamb. Freedom of speech. Separation of church and state. You don't have the church enforcing. See, and that's another principle that this nation was founded upon. Because Jesus said, what did he say? You shall not be like others, that where one reigneth over another. That means you don't use force in the kingdom of God. And so we had a nation come up that didn't use force in religious matters. Didn't want to mingle the two. That's a separation of powers. Perhaps that's what the two horns, like a lamb, represent, is that separation of powers, keeping the arm of force and the arm of the state using force separate from religion. Because anytime you bring those two together, the force of arms, the force of the state or the magistrate, who is the civil government set up to punish evildoers, but see, you can't do that in the church because there is no force in the kingdom of God. Very godly principle, that separation of powers principle, separation of church and state. And they're trying to marry it today. They're trying to make you think it would be a good thing to have the church and the state come back together. Now, we need to understand why the principle exists and uphold it. It's not to keep godly people and godly principles out of government. It's to keep the government from enforcing religion on people. And you see, everywhere that the church and the state come together in history, you always see persecution. And that's the reason that godly principle was part of the founding of this nation. Because the founders of this nation, they understood that. That unless you separate those powers, unless you separate the church and the state, you're going to have bloodshed. You're going to have persecution. They knew their history. They understood that. And we as a nation, we can read this book. We can read about Israel and Judah. We can see what happens. And he says, I said, after she had done all these things, turn unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Well, we could be the treacherous people who saw what happened to Israel and Judah. And it came to pass, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not and went and played the harlot also. Seems like one nation does not learn by the history of others. It was because the forefathers, they saw the history, they learned that they started this nation with those lamb-like principles. But soon the people forgot. Didn't take long. Because that nation that they founded was completely destroyed by 1865. By the end of the Civil War, it was gone. The America that the founding fathers founded was absolutely gone by that time. Since then, we've had a different nation, a more fascist-type nation, a nationalistic nation that was held together not by freedom, but held together by force. Chapter 3, verse 9, and it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Stones and stocks, that's an interesting thing here. I pretty much get the gist of it, but I'm going to see what our good friend Henry has to say about the stones and the stocks. Okay. Judah was forward enough to play the harlot, to worship any idol that was introduced among them, and to join in any idolatrous usage. Boy, can you say American Idol? Can you say what all this garbage that they have on TV? There's Dancing with the Stars, American Idol, football, baseball, hockey, all these sporting games. Let's see, what else? Yeah, Obamanation, the worship of man, the savior of man, the savior of the nation. Whatever idolatry. Judah, America is forward enough to play the harlot, to worship any idol that is introduced among them, and to join in any idolatrous usages, so that through the lightness, or as some read it, the vileness and the baseness of her whoredom, or by the fame and report of her whoredom, her notorious whoredom, still sounds like America to me, for which she had become infamous, she defiled the land and made it an abomination to her Creator, for she committed adultery with stones and stocks, the basest idols, those made of wood and stone, in the reigns of Manasseh and Amon. When they were disposed to idolatry, the people were so too, and all the country was corrupted with it, and none feared the ruin which Israel by this means had brought upon themselves. Well, I hope that you're one, because I'm one. I see it. I fear what's coming on America, not for myself, because, you know, I've committed myself to my Heavenly Father, to living according to His law. Why? Not for my salvation, but because I love Him, because He died for me. He laid down His life. He showed me how to live and how to obtain eternal life. He demonstrated it Himself. He became a man. That's why I love Him, because He loved me first. It's that simple. Because He loved us first. And once we see, once we understand His love toward us, yes, that statement, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Once we understand His love toward us, what is the appropriate way to respond to that love? The appropriate way to respond to the love that our Heavenly Father has for us, the love that He has demonstrated toward us, is a desire to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Obedience to His commandments, to show Him that we love Him. It's not saying that we are good, that we are capable of doing it, because the truth is we're not. We're not capable of being good. That's why we need to cry out to Him, say, help me, teach me, write Your law in my mind. I need Your help. And He wants to give us that help. He wants to teach us obedience. He wants to teach us how to love Him and to love our neighbor as ourself. That's the appropriate way to respond to His love toward us. Not with using liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Does that only take you away from Him? Because you become an idolater, one who loves the creation more than the Creator. You tell yourself, because the false teachers and preachers out there said the law was nailed to the cross, don't worry, because you'll get to go to heaven when you die. If you said that prayer, you said the magic words. I call it witchcraft, because that's what it is. Without obedience, without a true love, a proper response to His love for us, that's all it is witchcraft. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.
When parents weep, there is a great relief. When children lose their way, a greater love. When wives cry out,
One more and we'll be through. And then he cried, one